the offering, bless the tithes. In Jesus' name, amen. While you're standing, would you turn to 1 Peter, the first chapter? It's one of my favorite scriptures, starting in verse number 8 of 1 Peter 1. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There isn't a person here that doesn't believe in an invisible God. Even though he is invisible, he has touched us, he has manifested himself to us on many occasions. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, us. These are the Old Testament prophets, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. How does anyone read this and think that the God of the Old Testament was different than the God of the New Testament when the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets of old? Hallelujah. Revelational. When it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. You know, you think of angels, they got it all. They're in heaven, glorified bodies, don't have to worry about dying, and yet they're thinking, I wish I could have what they're going to have. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word. Touch it, anoint it, allow it to go forth unhindered. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. For thousands of years, the prophets of the Old Testament have inquired and searched diligently of the salvation that has come unto us. They really wanted what we have, all 4,000 years of searching, and they couldn't get to the place where we are tonight. It said the Spirit of Christ was in them, and that Spirit in them caused them to have a yearning for what we have today. Unresolved, unfulfilled yearning to be able to have the knowledge that we have and the experiences that they had. They only had one who could go into the holiest of holies. They could just watch. It was a one-man show. And even today, in many churches, it's all about a one-man show. I'm glad it's not that way here. Yet in spite of all of their searching and longing to have salvation revealed to them, salvation was revealed unto us and not them at the arrival of the flesh of God. See, when Jesus arrived in the flesh, all of a sudden there was a revelation of who God is and how much he loved us, and the pouring out of the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, and the angels couldn't even figure it out. Why? Why? They're a corrupt people. Why? And the things they did actually ministered unto us and not unto themselves. They went through a routine every day doing the same thing that they couldn't figure out. Why am I doing this? You know, there are some churches who lay out rules without explaining why it's in the Bible. And yet there are some people who are willing to do those things even though they don't understand them. I'm glad we have an understanding of why we do the things that we do. The tabernacle and all of the feasts that they kept didn't make a lot of sense to them who ministered, but we see in retrospect the plan of salvation laid out in the tabernacle and in the feast, and they didn't understand why they were doing what they did, but now we can go back in a first grade school of redemption and see why repentance, baptism, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, such as Passover and Jesus applying the blood to our house, that when he saw the blood, judgment passed over us. You know, why in Exodus, the 12th chapter, would we have to put the blood of the lamb on the building? I don't understand it, but they were obedient to it, never really understanding why they did it. And the angels are still trying to understand why God loves us so much instead of them. You see, but they were created and we were born. They didn't have a choice. If there's anything that is more of a robotic nature, it would be angels, but not us. We have a free choice to come to church, not come to church, live for God, not live for God. To lay down his life for us. And the greatest rewards that we have is all laid out in the Old Testament, and they didn't have a clue. Thousands of years of the prophets, the people of God, searching diligently and longing to know God and his plan of salvation. Lord, I don't understand all these things you have required us to do. But they were faithful to do it. Killing an innocent lamb, putting the blood on the house. Why only the high priest behind the veil to go into the holiest of holies? Why just one? Why couldn't we all experience the Shekinah glory of God? What is the purpose of pouring that innocent blood on a mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant? I don't understand. How does that work? Why the offering of the first fruits in waving our sheaves of grain before the harvest? Why God? Why God? It's not for you. It's for us. Day after day, year after year, going through the same rituals, not really knowing the purpose, thousands of years holding on to what they knew to be right. In Hebrews 11 chapter, it lists all of the patriarchs of God of the Old Testament, starting with Abel and his excellent offering, which the Bible says still speaks to God even after his death. And then there's Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Rahab. All of these are in the hall of faith, if you will. And they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They were never baptized in Jesus' name. But they were consistent. They were true. They continued to do what God asked them to do without having even understanding of why they were doing it. Incredible people. Take a look at Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews 11, verse number 13, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." God, we don't belong here. Boy, we're different than any other nation. We dress different, we talk different, we act different, we eat different. And yet, they were faithful, not even understanding. And sometimes, we think this is just too much to live for God when we have full truth and the Holy Ghost within us. Verse 39 says, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having prove some better thing for us that they without us should not be made perfect. Hallelujah. You know, they will receive their reward for being faithful to something that they didn't even understand. Faithful men and women who were faithful to God, not having received the promise, but persuaded to embrace the things that they knew they needed to do. There are some things that we do and we don't understand it. I understand that when I'm baptized in Jesus' name, my sins are completely washed away. Not only washed away, but God forgets my past as well. I believe that, but I don't know how he could do that. See, God said we should obey the scriptures, but he didn't say you will always understand the scriptures. If they who didn't have salvation as we know it, not fulfilled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, not understanding that we all are innocent because of the blood that was shed for us, always pointing to Calvary for salvation, not knowing the end from the beginning. And when we come into the church, we have no clue of what this is all about. I remember before I came into truth, someone persuaded me to go to a Christian men's business meeting where there were owners of business in Milwaukee, and they all got together and talked about the things of God. And I remember one guy recommending this book and another guy recommending this book. And I said, what about the Bible, you know? And then several months later, after I came into the church and sat in a Bible study, I came up to one of the guys who invited me to this meeting and said, what about the tabernacle plan in the Old Testament? And he looked at me like, what? Why study that? What's the purpose of all of that? And yet it is a step-by-step outline of how we are saved. Now, if they could embrace what we have, they would. And they considered themselves strangers and pilgrims on the earth. How much more we who have received the promise and have knowledge of Jesus Christ, shouldn't we be persuaded to embrace what God has asked us to do? We're living in a day of dumbing down, watering down. It's not that important anymore. They never looked at it that way in the Old Testament. It was important. I can't imagine being a high priest and every morning having to kill an innocent lamb and cut its throat. You know? Was that easy? Why am I doing this, God? But they didn't ask. Take a look at 1 Peter, the second chapter. First Peter 2:9, very familiar scripture. But it talks about the difference. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You could have been born 3,000 years ago and never have the privilege of knowing Christ the way you know him today. We're a chosen generation. And I believe that we are a special generation. I believe, as Brother Putnam said on Sunday, we are so close to the second coming of the Lord. You know, I'm still going to pay my taxes and I'll still paint my house from time to time, but I know that any day God could come. We're a chosen generation. That means we are the last generation before God comes. We find in Matthew, the 24th chapter, it says, the nation that sees Israel, the people who sees Israel become a nation, again, will be the last generation. Well, 1948 is when Israel became a nation. I was born in 1946. Let me ask you tonight, how long have you been waiting for your promise? How long is there something that you've been asking God for? A prayer you prayed over and over? Has it been days? Has it been months? Or perhaps you've been waiting for your promise of your healing or deliverance or family coming back to God or being saved or your finances for years and years and years. And you haven't seen the promise happen yet. I've said so many times, delay is not denial. We can throw up our hands and say, well, guess it just doesn't matter. When is God going to heal, Brother Marquardt? Well, those prophets and patriarchs of the Old Testament waited and waited and waited, generation after generation, but then suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The same people who were taking a lamb and going into the holiest of holies with the blood of that lamb, the same people suddenly had a revelation. It was the same Spirit of Christ that was in the prophets of the Old Testament, but now with definition and salvation to individuals. And now it's not just a high priest that gets to be behind the curtain and in the glory of God, but all those who want him. After all these years, heaven burst forth with a groan, and the Holy Ghost was released from heaven to fulfill the promise of all those who have been faithful for years and years and years. All of the blood that was shed to postpone the judgment of sin until the Lamb of God. Isaiah 28 and 11 says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he, Jesus, speak to his people. We are the promised people. We are the chosen generation. I hope you understand how privileged we are to be in the generation, I believe, that sees Jesus come back to the earth. He has purpose. This is not an accident. It just didn't happen that you happen to be born when you're born. He has purpose for you to be a part of the rapture generation. A royal priesthood that can walk into the holiest of holies, a holy nation, a separated people who have knowledge way beyond the 4,000 years of those in the Old Testament, a peculiar people, meaning movable treasures to invest into the world, purchased of God. And if there was ever a generation that should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, with the information and revelation that we have, it should be us. Let me tell you about the Chinese bamboo tree. I was at Brother Portman's house last night, and around his deck, he has bamboo plants, and they're just overgrowing. He said that They started trying to get underneath his deck, and he had to put big pieces of metal under there so they didn't push his deck up. They're powerful. But there's something about this Chinese bamboo tree. When the seed of a Chinese bamboo tree is planted, nothing is seen above ground for 5 years. You water and fertilize, and then you water and fertilize, and then you water and fertilize for 5 years. Nothing happens for 5 years, and then suddenly, in the next 6 weeks, the bamboo tree grows 90 foot. I'd like to have that kind of growth in our church. You know, we've been watering and we've been fertilizing and watering and fertilizing. Amen. Glory to God. Number 42. As a child, I went to a denominational Christian school and I developed a love for God. But I didn't have a knowledge of God, and I didn't know how to express that to God. I remember praying earnestly as a child, and that longing for God later turned into a tradition, and then the tradition turned into apathy, and the apathy turned into, I got other things to do. Until suddenly, when I was 30 years old, I walked into a Pentecostal church, and there I understood. The Apostle Paul persecuted the early church. He wanted to put them all in jail. He was zealous for God. He just didn't know who God was. And in Acts 9 and 3, it says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly... there shined around him a light from heaven, and God showed him who he was. Most of you have been around church long before you even came into truth. But there came a day. You know, most people get saved suddenly. I've talked about this over the years, the sudden moves of God, all of a sudden, you know. Why now, God? Why is it when I'm walking through the store, not even thinking about God, and all of a sudden I feel the presence of God? I was taking the dog for a walk this morning, and all of a sudden I felt the power of God, and he talked to me about a message. I wasn't thinking about you. But suddenly there's thoughts there that I wasn't even expecting. Paul and Silas were thrown into prison because they cast out a devil in a woman. And in Acts 16 and 25, it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Boy, that just doesn't make sense. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all of the doors were open, and everyone's... Now, it wasn't just Paul and Silas that was released. It was all of the prisoners that were released. You know, maybe you're praying for something to be released from, and not only you are released, but there's a whole bunch of people that get released at the same time. It says everyone's bands were loosed. Hallelujah. Each of us have had that kind of experience with God at one time or another. Maybe just not expecting God to do it on a Wednesday night. We expect it on Miracle Sunday, but not just on a regular Wednesday night. I wonder how many people have been filled with the Holy Ghost on a Wednesday night. Amen. Glory to God. See, it's up to us. Israel was in bondage for 430 years to Egypt, but in just One night. Say one night.
One night.
Just one night. God said, pack up your stuff, you're leaving. Tonight? I didn't know we were leaving that soon. You know, I didn't make any arrangements for, I've had enough. I'm bringing you out tonight. You suffered enough. I wonder if there's somebody in here tonight. God says, tonight, you've suffered enough. Are you ready? Are you ready? Suddenly, they walked out of bondage. Did you know that when God comes back for our generation, well, it's going to be suddenly. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with a trump of God, and we're going to be gone. Well, I wasn't ready. Well, that's why I'm preaching this. So you're ready. Glory to God. Ready or not, it's not going to be determined whether or not you're ready. It's when he's ready. I'm ready for the miracle right now. Is he ready? I believe he's ready to do something for us. Mark 13 and 35, Jesus said, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh at even, or at midnight, or at cockcrowing, or at in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. The word suddenly means unexpectedly. I've been in the church for 45 years, and I wonder how many times I've heard, the Lord's coming soon. In 1980, I thought, God, you have got to be coming right now. You know, a lot of people haven't prepared for his coming. Well, I've been praying for a healing for months, even years. Well, if God is going to get the glory, it just can't happen gradually. It has to happen suddenly. I've been praying for my children for years, and nothing seems to happen. Are you ready for a suddenly? They just call one day and say, Dad, I need to come back to church. Dad, I've been eating with the pigs. I know I'm not worthy, but I had it better in your house. I'm miserable out here. See, God knows how to do that. Go along, everything's fine, I'm not thinking about God or anything, and then suddenly something happens in their life that says, I had it better in my Father's house. Hallelujah. Because my God does suddenly so good. Heals suddenly, saves suddenly, delivers suddenly. Tonight is a good time for a miraculous suddenly in your life. And I believe that he has saved his best suddenlies for us. Because he answers prayer. Sometimes when we think not, all of a sudden, there he is to touch us. Could he do that tonight? Could he? Could tomorrow be different because of tonight? Could he deliver us? I've been in in places where I could hardly think about anything else except the thing that is this problem. You see, I can't be valuable to God when I'm all tied up in my problems. I can't be valuable to God when my back hurts so much I can't think about anything else. So for God to release us to do the things that He wants us to do, He needs to do a miracle in our lives. Deliver us when the doctors don't know what to do. The lawyers don't have to get out. Amen. And I think it doesn't matter what day of the week is. Doesn't even have to be in church. But you have to believe that God could do it any second. Would you stand with me? I thought today, what would it be like to live in the Old Testament and go through the rituals? What would it be like to live when Jesus walked the earth? Crowds throng around Him, maybe even be able to touch Him if I somehow press through the crowd, or then live in the day that I'm living right now. We have the best of the best, folks. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now I can preach a message like this and everybody can just go home and think about it. Or maybe tonight is your night. Maybe if you decided that, you know what? I'm so tenacious, I'm so determined. God, I need something from You tonight. The altar's open, would you come?